Godzilla is now in New York City.
Monster 01 and 02, commence the attack.
And welcome back to Stomp This Way. We're here today to talk about a 70s lost gem?
That's questionable right there.
maybe one of those fake gems you buy at the thrift store for like 50 cents. Anyway, today we are talking about the film Tentacles. You ready, Andrew?
Oh, yeah, you know it.
Well, here's some production trivia. It is an Italian-U.S. co-production, much like, you know, a spaghetti western, like those old Clint Eastwood movies where they would hire Clint Eastwood and a couple other American leads, and then they would film it in Italy with a bunch of Italian extras to save money. Well, that's what they did here. It's one of many films that were made to cash in on the popularity of Jaws, which was released 2 years prior. The initial script was meant as more of a satire of killer animal genre, but was rewritten to be more serious?
Kind of, I guess.
John Wayne was originally cast as the lead, but after the director met Wayne, he realized he was far too sick to play the part. John Wayne would die 2 years later of stomach cancer. Very sad. We all love John Wayne.
Yes.
So Henry Fonda was cast as the replacement lead, but he suffered a heart attack shortly before filming, which relegated him to a supporting role. So they went to their third choice, and we'll talk about here in a little bit. Most of the film was shot in Georgia and California, but the underwater sequences were shot in Italy. The octopus was originally meant to destroy the Golden Gate Bridge, but that was cut due to time and budget constraints. And he wasn't big enough, at least the scale that they present in the film, I don't think, to destroy the Golden Gate Bridge. But anyway, because this film is kind of a combination of Jaws and It Came From Beneath the Sea. You know, I couldn't remember if we'd reviewed It Came From Beneath the Sea or not. So I looked up on our list. We had reviewed it. I went back and listened to our review. That's the one, I don't know if you remember. One of those Ray Harryhausen classics. Mm-hmm. It's got the scene where the tentacle crushes the car on the Golden Gate Bridge. But anyway, sorry. Side rant. And then while filming, the large rubber octopus prop was lost to sea. So the rest of the film was shot with a diver waving the last remaining tentacle. Although having watched the film, they must have lost it really late in filming because I never really felt that they were, you know, suffering because they didn't have the prop. There was a couple of scenes where I saw they only had one or two tentacles in frame. But anyway, it's beside the point, I guess. Mm-hmm. Some box office information. This was released February 25th, 1977 in Italy. Released June 15th of 1977 in the United States. Budget of $750,000 and a box office gross of $3 million. So, and a commercial success. You know, that's why they filmed it cheap in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we're going to watch a trailer, listen to a trailer. Then we're going to come back, read off the cast and crew, read a plot synopsis, and then we'll talk about tentacles.
Each year, 10,000 tourists visit Ocean Beach. This summer, Ocean Beach has attracted something else. American International presents tentacles. It slept until man disturbed it. Then it woke with a fury no man could control, rising from the ocean floor to bring destruction and death. Tentacles. A chilling tale of nature gone wild as two of the sea's deadliest enemies fight to the death. Starring John Huston, Shelley Winters, Beau Hopkins, Claude Akins, and Henry Fonda. Tentacles. The most gripping suspense you will ever experience. Rated PG.
All right, we're back. This film is directed by Ovidio G. Assonitis. I'm sorry, that's an Italian name. I just butchered it. Written by Stephen W. Karabatsis, Tito Carpi, and Jerome Max. Effects by Gianfranco Maioletti. Music by Stelvio Cipriani. And starring John Huston, Shelley Winters, Beau Hopkins, Henry Fonda, and Caser de Nova Claude Akins. I think that's supposed to be two people. I wrote that down. Caser de Nova and Claude Akins. we're on the struggle bus today. Anyway, so the plot is roughly as follows. After construction on an undersea tunnel awakens a giant octopus off the coast of California, residents begin to go missing one by one. Local reporter Ned Turner enlists the help of oceanographer Will Gleason to find the cause. The men determine that radio signals are what attracts the beast, but not in time to save Gleason's wife and sister-in-law, nor Turner's nephew's friend. On a quest for revenge, Gleason and his co-worker Mike take their two captive orcas out to sea to hunt the octopus. The men go diving with a harpoon gun, but they are trapped under falling rocks. Luckily, the orcas come to their rescue and rip the octopus apart. Gleason and Mike sail home with the orcas following closely behind as credits roll. Is that a pretty fair summary of the movie?
That's a pretty good one, I would say. Yeah.
So, you know, coming into this, I expected it to be terrible. A bad ripoff of Jaws. And that's pretty much what we got.
Yeah.
You know, it starts out with your kind of typical tease that you get in these kind of movies where the woman's baby off screen gets dragged into the water or whatever. And then there's another guy who gets pulled off his boat, the guy with the wood peg for a leg. And then his body washes back up later or whatever. You know, all kind of in the Jaws formula of things. But we are introduced into our kind of, I guess, main cast of characters. That being some veteran Hollywood actors. John Huston, whatever, as Ned Turner, the old local reporter. We have, you know, Shelley Winters as his sister, much younger sister, I guess.
I think so, yeah.
And then Beau Hopkins with a thick southern accent.
Oh, yeah.
As the, oceanographer or whatever you want to call him.
He has a couple of orcas.
What?
He has a couple of orcas.
Yeah, he works at SeaWorld or some kind of marine life rescue, something or another. Yeah, we also have Henry Fonda. He, another Hollywood legend. But he's only in like two or three scenes. He's like the evil CEO. Well, he's not even really that evil. But he's like the shrewd businessman CEO of the company building this undersea tunnel. I think they filmed all his scenes at his actual home, it looks like. But yeah, so the basic plot is they're building this undersea tunnel and the high frequency whatever they use to build this tunnel awakens this giant octopus, I guess. And it starts killing people.
Yeah. Very ineffectively.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first time we actually see anybody get got is when the sister-in-law and the fat guy, I'm sorry, what's the new term?
Plus size.
Plus size, yeah. There was a funnier term I was going to come up with. But yeah, plus size man and some other guy go out boating. And, you know, they do like the fake out camera is supposed to be like the point of view of the monster, but it's actually his friend pop out. Mm-hmm. They do that twice.
Twice.
In the same scene. I'm like, not really how it's supposed to work. Mm-hmm. But finally, one of them gets got by an octopus.
It was the fat man.
Did he get first? Yeah, he got first.
The plus size man got it first.
And then the other guy got. And then they actually have a kind of a cool prop set up where they have the boat, and the boat gets pulled off of it, and yeah, the woman, the sister-in-law, Gleason's sister-in-law, mm-hmm, gets pulled into the water. The octopus, like, the skinny guy, like, turns him upside down and drags him through the water first, yeah, or something.
It was kind of weird.
But anyway, so they get got. And then, let's see what else happens.
Then the sister goes out with the other guy on, yeah, the boat.
So Gleason's wife, the woman's that got killed sister, her and two other guys go out on a boat. And they also get got by the octopus.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this, like, so, you know, you have your kind of serious plot, but then you have your comedic relief subplot kind of with Ned Turner's sister. She's kind of the comedic relief character, and she's got her son and his best friend, their young children, and she's entered them into some kind of, like, junior cell race.
Mm-hmm.
And she, I will say, she's the most entertaining character.
Yeah.
She says the most off the wall, crude stuff. And the scene where her son is like, where she's like, if I went sailing with you, you'd win automatically or whatever. And he's like, well, then we would need a tornado to move the boat. But then he's like, but you're plump, Mom, but that just means there's more of you to love or something. And then the kid walks out of the bathroom, the friend kid, and mm-hmm, she's like, did it all come out okay? We have a few more kids like you, and whatever she said, the bay will be overflowing. But anyway, it was bad, but it was, yeah, kind of funny. Anyway, she puts them in this junior sail race, and, you know, kind of like the scene in Jaws, I guess, the beach scene where the kids are on the boat and everybody's on their little floaties or whatever. And
yeah.
But this, they're racing on the little boats, and
they have this horrible soundtrack playing over the whole time.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to the soundtrack. Dear God, help us. But about the same time, Turner and Gleason determine, oh, the radio signals are attracting the,
mm-hmm,
the octopus, and, oh, there's this race with the kids today. So they call the Coast Guard, and the Coast Guard gets on their helicopter and writes on this chalkboard, danger, go back, mm-hmm, and does a couple of rounds. But of course, I couldn't really tell. I mean, the octopus shows up, we see the head prop floating through the water. I couldn't tell if all these boats were being overturned and everything because of the actual octopus attack, or just because they were panicking, because I never actually saw any tentacles, mm-hmm, until the very end when the full prop actually, like, attacks the sailboat with the two kids that we talked about earlier. But anyway, I think all the kids survive except for Turner's nephew's friend. Yeah.
Because he was the one holding the radio.
Was he the one holding the radio?
Yeah, and the other one fell off the boat prior to that.
Okay, yeah, I didn't really see that, but okay. I didn't remember which one was which anyway. But
the blue-haired one was the, I think was the...
The what, the blue-haired one?
The
life jacket?
Yeah. Blue shirt one was the kid of the mom person.
The Russian mom, yeah, that was working two jobs so she couldn't go watch the race?
No, that's the, that was the best friend of the blue guy.
Okay.
I don't know. They
one of the kids dies. That's one of the kids dies. Just like in Jaws. They killed a kid. So see, just
only one kid though.
Yeah, I think Jaws only ate one kid in the first movie. But anyway, what was I talking about? Okay, so that happens. Mm-hmm. And then at this point, Gleason's all pissy because his wife's dead. So he's like, I only got one thing on my mind. It's like Godzilla only had one thing on his mind in Godzilla 2000 when he was out for revenge against the alien.
Mm-hmm.
So he, this blew my mind. He gets on a sailboat with his coworker Mike. His coworker Mike, I made a joke at the beginning. Mike is shirtless for most of this movie. And when Old Man Turner, the reporter, he shows up at one of their stadium or whatever where they put on the orca shows. And I'm like, and he's watching them do whatever, and he's got this big grin on his face. I'm like, is he watching the orca? Is he watching shirtless Mike? But anyway, Gleason and Mike go out on the boat, and behind them, they've put these two orcas in this kind of small tank. And Gleason thinks that the orcas, they like pipe in the sound from the tank to their boat. And the orcas are going to tell him when the octopus are near or something.
Yeah.
But at some point, the octopus shows up, breaks the tank with the orcas, and the orcas get out.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mike and, well, he also like pushes the boat around. Mike and Gleason get a harpoon gun in their diving suits, go down under. One of them gets inked and then trapped under some...
I think that was Gleason.
Was that Gleason that got trapped? I couldn't tell.
I think Mike's the one that saved him.
Because it's weird, because Gleason is... I guess he's the main character, or maybe Turner's the main character.
It's really hard to tell.
Mike was really a side character. It's weird that he's the hero all of a sudden at the end of the movie.
The real heroes are the orcas.
Yes, I made a joke at the beginning of the movie when Turner first goes to meet Gleason at the orca facility. I was like, are we going to get orca versus octopus? Well, we did.
We did.
The movie, the final climactic battle, is these two orca puppets ripping up this octopus puppet.
Yes.
Something to behold.
It goes on for a long time.
They had some runtime to fill. Mm-hmm. I guess the octopus dies. It just kind of wounded, slinks off into the depths. I mean, I guess if they wanted to make a sequel, they could have. Question mark.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean... It's a very generic Jaws ripoff. Mm-hmm. Follows the Jaws formula pretty much to the T. Just, you know, I mean, the Jaws production, much like this production, faced a lot of challenges. And I think there was a little bit more money behind Jaws. But just like this movie lost its prop, Jaws had a problem with the animatronic shark not working. The difference between these two movies is that they did not have an artiste behind the camera like they did at Jaws. So, you know, it suffers. But you want to talk about creature design?
Why not?
The octopus.
Yeah.
It's an octopus.
It's literally just...
At times it's a literal octopus.
And the size, I feel like, varies from scene to scene.
Yeah. The prop, they have one prop. Mm-hmm. And yeah, scale is not very accurate because there's one scene where the prop like swallows up this kind of like speedboat thing that they go out searching on. And then there's another scene where, and it's about the size of that speedboat. And then there's the other scene where it like swallows up the little kayak with the two kids. And it looks about the same size as that little kayak. So scale was
a little off.
Not consistent, but yeah, so they have the prop, which, I mean, it looks fine for a prop. Some tentacles they wave around, which look pretty good, even in close-up. And then a lot of the times, the extreme close-ups and stuff are
a real octopus.
Real octopus. And then they have the head prop that they, you know, kind of like the shark fin that they move through the water.
Yeah.
And it looks fine. It looks about like those octopuses in the Toho movies, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Can't complain too much.
But getting into effects overall, the scenes that I, there were a couple scenes I thought looked really bad. When the octopus goes to kill Gleason's wife, after he kills the two men and knocks her out of the boat, there's an obvious toy boat with, or actually I guess the men are still in the boat. There's an obvious toy boat and it's got a couple of cuts as the water rushes into the boat of a couple of dummies being, you know, washed away by the water. And it looks very much like a toy. Doesn't look good.
No.
And then the puppets at the end, the orca puppets. And there's a lot of rapid cutting going on to try to hide it. Those orca puppets don't look very good.
It looked a little rough.
Yeah. But again, most of the stuff with the octopus looks fine.
It looks all right.
Yeah. And then score, as you alluded to. Wow.
That's something right there.
Yeah. A lot of times, it feels like it was music written for a different movie that they put on this movie. I don't think that was the case. But at times, this Italian composer, he was trying to mimic John Williams at times with the shark theme poorly. And then other times, he had like this kind of grand, you know, kind of like epic journey music playing. Not journey as in like a journey, not like as in the band Journey. Journey. But kind of like this quest music, I guess, playing in scenes that were supposed to be scary. And yeah, it was bad. It was very distracting.
Yeah.
And bad. And the score was about three times as loud as the dialogue. So
wanted you to make sure you heard the score.
They wanted you to hear it. Yeah. But
the boat scene, it was just so weird.
Yeah. But
it was like elevator music over there, like
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be getting out of that elevator. Let me tell you. I'm taking the stairs, baby. But yeah. You wanna get some final thoughts in a grade?
Why not? You know, it was a movie. It was not the best movie we've ever watched on this podcast. Neither is a lot of other movies, but you know. We watched some doozies.
Yeah. And we will continue to.
Oh, yeah. You know, the octopus prop looked alright for most scenes, you know. Distance shots, it looks just like an octopus. You know, some of the close-up shots we get of the prop, it varies. And, you know, like I said, the size of it varies from scene to scene, depending on what they're doing at that moment. And the acting in this movie, it was there. It wasn't the greatest acting I've ever seen in a movie, but I gotta say, it's not the worst acting I've seen either.
I think, you know, the veterans, they do their job.
Yeah.
The supporting characters and the background characters are really bad.
Yeah.
And then also, they're not helped by some poor dubbing.
Yeah, the dubbing is not that great.
Yeah, for the people that were speaking Italian or speaking in poor American accents that they had to go back and redub later.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad.
Got a Gleason's deep southern action he had going on.
Yeah.
That was something right there. And, you know, score. Not the best score I've heard from a movie.
Yeah.
So probably the worst score I've heard in a while, honestly. That did not fit a movie at all.
Yeah.
Usually, at least fits the scenes that it's going with on most movies, even if they're terrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think I'll give this movie a B+.
B+. All right, yeah. Like you said, it is what it is. It's a bad Jaws ripoff, bad score, mixed acting. I wish John Wayne would have been able to be in it, but honestly, this movie doesn't deserve John Wayne.
No.
So, yeah, I was totally bored. So at times, it was so bad it was good. But there was also a lot in between that was just really dull and boring.
Yeah.
You know, the octopus scenes leave a lot to be desired. They ain't got nothing on a Jaws movie. Even the bad Jaws movies had better, I think, creature scenes than this one.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe with the exception of Jaws the Revenge. I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch it. But at least that movie had Michael Caine.
They had acting in that.
So, yeah, you know, it's a bad movie. I'll give it a D. You know, had a couple of moments. A couple of funny moments with the sister character, I guess. The reporter's sister. But overall, you know, bad movie. And it was, yeah. I mean, it was a little long. It was like 102 minutes. Yeah. I was like, they could have cut this baby off at 90. That, like you said, that final battle, there were several scenes that just dragged on for about 5 minutes mm-hmm. too long. It's like, we could edit this down a little bit.
Yeah.
But anyway, quick news. Godzilla Minus One has concluded its U.S. theatrical run. It finished with $56.4 million in the U.S., which makes it obviously the highest grossing Japanese Godzilla film in the U.S. It is the second highest grossing Japanese film period in the U.S. history behind the Pokemon movie. The highest gross, number one highest grossing Japanese live action film in U.S. box office history. And I believe the third highest grossing live action foreign film in box office history behind Crouching Tiger. And then just short of some Italian movie called Life is Beautiful. And highest grossing foreign film in 24 years or something like that. So, you know, good on it.
Good for it.
Good on it. And they Toho's marketing team released a nice little thank you video to commemorate the conclusion of its run here in the U.S.
Even though they didn't market it very well.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I think they did some good. So they didn't put it on TV. They didn't put up the TV spots and trailers on TV and all that. I mean, you know, I did get a couple ad for it on YouTube and, you know, they did their social media bit rounds. Yeah. So I think, I mean, they did that on purpose to save on money on a marketing campaign. So I think they accomplished what they wanted to accomplish. Yeah. But Godzilla will be back in theaters, baby. In, what, 2 months?
Yeah.
A little less than 2 months. We'll be watching Godzilla. Kong. The New Empire. Oh,
goodness.
God help us. Anyway, I think that's all I got for this week. Next week, we'll be watching Q, The Winged Serpent. So check that out if you haven't and listen to our review next week. Andrew, tell them about our website.
Well, our website is up at stompsthisway.wordpress.com.
That's right, that's right.
You can find many things on there, as Aaron will explain.
I don't know about many things. You can find our latest episode. You can find our schedule through Godzilla X Kong. And you can find a brief about us page. So there's that. You can also contact us at stompthisway1954@gmail.com. Love to hear from you guys. And find us on Facebook. I post once a week when we publish a new episode. Anyway, that's it for this week. Join us next week for Q the Winged Serpent. And as always, I'm Aaron.
I'm Andrew.
And we'll see you next time.